that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what this the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? All that is just for the next verse. My next verse is the text verse. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And here it is. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, the Lord is telling us that we need to do things in our generation to be sure that the next generation has faith. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Whenever it is, and I want to talk to you tonight, something that will, if I were going to call it a little simpler title, I'd say stability for your children, for our children in the future. Stability for our children. That little line, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth when he comes? How about the faith of the next generation? What kind of faith are your children going to have? Your grandchildren going to have? What can you do now to see to it that your children and their children have faith in the generations to come after you and I are already in heaven? When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Our Father, bless our teaching tonight for our edification. Bless this study, and may the people give rapt attention to what I try to tell them and teach them about this important subject. In Jesus' name, amen. But you've got to watch it, because sometimes ice and a rock are just as hard as each other. You can grasp the ice instead of the rock, and it'll melt. And though we did not plan that song to go with what I'm going to say tonight, it's a perfect song. For what I'm going to say. Father, bless our discussion tonight. May I be able to help our people, please. Amen. Now I want you to follow me very carefully. Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Now a lot of that depends on what we do about our children, those who come after us. You see, now follow me very carefully. Everybody, follow me carefully. Everything in this world is like a pendulum. It goes from one extreme to the other. And it just keeps on going like that all the time. The word world in the Bible is often translated the word cosmos, which means the world arrangement. Now, the world arrangement is not stable. It's like a pendulum. It keeps on swinging. I saw several young men the other day. I don't mean Christian young men. Wearing crew cuts. I stopped one of them on the street. And I said, son, do you belong to something that caused you to have to get a crew cut like that? And I used to have a crew cut, but the crew bailed out. He said, no, he said, crew cuts are the new thing, nothing. Man, that's what I wore from the time I was 5 or 6 years old to the time I graduated from high school. I really did. Then when I got in the army, they really gave me a crew cut, little, really short crew, they're coming back. It's going to come back. I recall when I was a young man, we used to look at old timey pictures of old timey baseball teams. Looks so funny, with their beards, mustaches, and long hair, not hippie hair, but looks so funny, old timey. Now then, that's the way they all look. And we look back at old-timey pictures of old-timey baseball teams, and they have short haircuts and crew cuts. Roger Maris, who died not long ago. I saw a picture of him not long before he died, and he had a crew cut. I'm saying that it comes and goes. The world's that way. I want you to open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes, chapter number 1. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 1. And we're going to start with verse number 4. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 1, and verse number 4. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Now look at it. The sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about to the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. And the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers came, thither they return again. In other words, the water in the river runs down to the ocean, and then it becomes vapor, and rises up into the air and forms clouds, and then it rains on the river again, and the water goes down and from heaven and down the river to the ocean and back up and back down and back out and back up and back down. And it goes on to say, verse number 8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Here's the verse I want you to notice. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Now, what am I saying? What's God saying here? God is simply saying that it's going to come back. You have short skirts for a while, and then you have long skirts, and then you have short skirts, then you have long skirts, and you have big wide ties, and then you have little narrow ties. Don't throw them away, fellows. The wide ones are going to come back. Keep the ties. And then you have little bitty narrow lapels for a while, and then you have big wide lapels. Then you have no hardly any shoulder padding in the shoulders. And, of course, I don't need it because of the tremendous padding I have naturally. But no padding. And then what you used to call the zoot suit that kind of comes out like that. You got bricks in your shoulders and so forth. And it'll come back. Keep them. It'll come back. I've got suits I'm keeping. I can't wear them anymore because they're shrunk. But I know I've got 100 suits at home. I know it. I've got them in the basement. I've got them in several closets. Why? I keep them. I've got suits that are 30 years old. I've got suits that I had in Texas. And I'm going to wear the coat one of these days around my leg. But I keep them. And they'll come back. Keep your wide lapels, fellas. They'll be back. Keep your narrow ones. They'll be back. Keep your wide ties. They'll be back. That's the way the world is. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing else to invent. There's as far as styles is concerned, the world. It's just a pendulum. Swings this way and that way and this way and that way. It is said, we'll not turn to it. I'd planned to, but it's a little later than I thought it'd be. It is said in Deuteronomy 28:67, it says in the morning, they said, would God every evening. In the evening, they said, would God every morning. What are they doing? Chasing the pendulum. Here it is over here. And they're over here in the morning, and they look over in the evening and say, well, I wish it was over there. They run over here, and about the time they get to the evening, it shifts and becomes the morning again. And they just chase the pendulum all the time, chase the pendulum. Now, take politics, for example. Look back in the history of this century, and you will see an amazing thing about politics. You will see a liberal president like Franklin Delano Roosevelt follow a conservative president like Herbert Hoover. And then you will see a president pretty soon coming from more a conservative to follow the liberal Roosevelt a little while later, a president or two later, and Mr. Eisenhower. And then you will see Mr. Kennedy, a liberal. And then you will see Mr. Nixon, a conservative. And then you will see a Mr. Carter, a liberal. And then you will see a Mr. Reagan, a conservative. What is it? It's a pendulum. It's going to swing. You know why? Because man cannot govern himself.
human government will not work. George Bernard Shaw said, democracy is a very poor form of government, and all the others are poorer. Man cannot govern himself. Man cannot be satisfied. And so, what happens if we have a conservative president and we say, oh my, we're not feeding the poor enough, and all these welfare programs are not being cared for? What we do? We get a liberal president, and we care for all the welfare programs. Oh, we're being taxed beyond mercy, beyond measure. What can we do? We've got to get somebody in to lower the taxes. We get a conservative in, and we lower the taxes, and we cut out some of the welfare program. And we get over here, and we're liberal, and we say, oh, we got to get conservative. Listen, just about everybody that runs for political office who is not now in power runs against the status quo. He runs against the present. The present administration is not doing well. And this is bad. And so, why? He knows human nature is that way. He knows that during a time of conservatism, liberalism looks pretty good. And during a time of liberalism, conservatism looks pretty good. Now look, in all of this change, we need to provide a secure feeling for those who follow us. Now, you're not going to have a secure feeling unless you find some things that don't move. And unless you yourself set up some things that don't move. Now you expect me to say, put your faith in God. That's what you expect me to say, because the Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow turning, and God never changes. Jesus is the same yesterday, and forever. And you expect me to say that. And you expect me to say that the Bible is an anchor that holds and it never changes. By the way, I want to parenthesize here. I'm not going to talk tonight mainly about Jesus being the rock that stands, and God never changing, God the Father never changing, and the Bible being the anchor on which. But I want to say this a little bit about the Bible. You'd be shocked if you knew how the versions of the Bible that are coming out, which are so unnecessary and not even Bible, you'd be shocked if you knew what they're doing to cause Christian people to feel subconsciously unstable. You'd be shocked if you knew what it's doing to the nervous system of our people. All these Bibles. Which is the Bible? Living Bible? Not living, dead. But everybody's trying to tell us the Bible in modern language. And modern language changes so much. You got a hippie Bible, and you got a theologian's Bible, and you got a liberal Bible, and you got to get a new King James Bible and a new Scofield Bible. You'd be shocked if you knew what. Now, I don't mean consciously, but look, folks, this book standeth firm. Now, when you start putting out a bunch of books but not the same, and call those books the Bible, in the subconscious mind of believers, you're causing instability. Now, we ought to be trying to think of things that are firm, which we can hold. I want to give you several of them, and they're very practical. I'm not going to be what you think, and I say what you think I'm going to say. I'm not going to talk tonight about Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever, though, of course, that's understood. But I'm going to give you some practical things. Now, what can we do? Now, follow me carefully. What can we do to ensure the security of the generations who come after us? What can we do? Now, bear in mind that life is a pendulum. And here the conservative looks and says, conservative time, liberalism looks good. Liberalism, conservatism looks good. In the morning, the evening looks good. In the evening, the morning looks good. And styles change, hairstyles change, dress styles change, furniture styles change, house styles change, and financial, just costly. All the time, and that which was will be again, and that which is will not be later, and it'll come back around and around and around and around. Oh, young folks say, boy, I like these new styles. Those styles were old before you were born. No new styles. Those of us who lived a while have seen them come and go a couple times. Boy, I don't like the old stuff. Oh, you don't, huh? You ought to see some pictures that I've got of some old people. They look exactly like you folks that want something new. You just come back around again, that's all. Now, what can we do? Okay, answer. One, don't chase the pendulum. Don't chase the pendulum. Illustration. Remember several years ago when the steel mills began to cut back? And remember how that so many of our people cast their eye toward Texas? Remember? And the most popular place to go in those places was a place called Odessa, Texas, or Midland, Texas. Are you listening to me? And so as the pendulum swung, it swung down to Odessa and Midland, Texas. And I could probably name a dozen of our families that moved down there because that's where the money is. I was in Midland, Texas, which is about 13 miles from Odessa. I was there last week, and the pendulum has come back. Did you know Detroit, Michigan is in better shape tonight than Odessa, Texas? Folks, don't chase the pendulum. You better buy two houses, one in Detroit, one in Odessa. I'm saying, okay, I can recall when I was up in New England, I was preaching near Boston, and a pastor said to me, he said, "We're losing our people." I said, "Where are they going?" They said, "They're going down to Houston, Texas." And why? Well, because employment. I mean, this is a depressed area. Going down to Houston, Texas. Why? To find work. That's just been a few years ago. Did you know tonight that Boston, Massachusetts is in twice as good a shape financially as Houston, Texas is? Did you know that Houston, Texas has worse unemployment tonight than the state of Illinois does? Did you know that Houston, Texas has a worse unemployment rate tonight than Detroit, Michigan, than Michigan does? What is it? Chase a pendulum. Hey, they got money down there, and now we're broke down here. Hey, we'll come back to Boston, and hey, they got it down in Houston. Why don't you just buy a place halfway in between? Now listen to me, folks. Hear me. That may give you more money to pay your bills. Now, young people, listen to me. But that will not cause the next generation to be stable. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Listen, we need to build as many things that do not move, that the next generation may see things that don't move. You know one of the main reasons why I walk out that door every Sunday morning at 10:45, every Sunday night at 7, every Wednesday night at 7:35. You know why? I'll tell you why. I want the young people to find something that is stationary. He's there. I said, "Don't you ever wish you could take a vacation?" Of course I do. Why don't you? One of the main reasons I don't is because I can recall when I was a boy, sitting out in the church, a little boy, and I'd look up, the door would open, and time for the pastor to walk in, and a guy'd come out. I didn't even know who he was. And somebody stand up and say, "Our pastor's away preaching somewhere today, and we have a guest speaker," and I was always disappointed. Now, I decided years ago that the young people that grew up in my church, when the door opens at 11 o'clock, or at 10:45 on Sunday morning, or 7 on Sunday night, or 7:35 on Wednesday night, the preacher's walking through that door. I'm saying, folks, if we do not get back to giving our young people some things that don't change, it's going to be an unstable generation that follows us. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? How about the next generation and the next? We've got to give them some things that don't change. Let me tell you something, folks. Picked up the newspaper yesterday, and it said Detroit is back again. Detroit, back again. I was down in Dallas the other day. You'd be shocked if you knew how many condominiums they built in Dallas. They can't sell, and they're trying to rent them as apartments now. Dallas. Why, 5 or 6 years ago, Tulsa, Oklahoma was the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was on talking to somebody yesterday, an evangelist, from Tulsa. Why, he said you wouldn't believe it down there. He said the place is about to close down. Tulsa! You can't follow the pendulum. Listen, you may make a little more money if you shift to and fro, but here's what you're going to do. You're going to rear a bunch of young people that do not have stability. The more things that don't change, the more things that are the same, the more things that are stable. I'll tell you something else, too. I said this to preachers yesterday in a question and answer session.
fellow said to me, he said, Brother Howells, he's asking a question. He said, I've got a lady in my church. She gives me the devil. One fellow said, I got one in my church and she is the devil. He said, I just get where I want to go. And I said, sir, that woman is a member of every church in America. You can't run from problems. They're going to be where you are. The problems that you leave, you will find waiting for you when you arrive. Look, I know what I'm talking about. I've traveled this country. There's no difference in this country from in Bangor, Maine, and San Diego, California. People are the same everywhere. Same problems. And if they have a problem in Bangor that San Diego doesn't have, it'll be to San Diego after a while. And if they have some prosperity in San Diego, it'll be in Bangor after a while. Look, if there's anything this old nation needs for the next generation, it is for some adults to have some constant things for young people to hang on to that don't move. Don't chase the pendulum. Number two, what can we do to provide a secure feeling for those who follow us? That's going to shock you here. Number two, nature. Nature. People change, but winter comes, and it's followed by spring, and it's followed by summer, and it's followed by fall, and it's followed by winter, and it's followed by spring, and it's followed by summer, and it's followed by fall, and it's followed by winter, and the trees continue to blossom, and the flowers continue to bloom, and the sun continues to rise, and it goes on schedule across its circuit and continues to set. And one of the reasons our young people and this generation does not feel stable, we never look at the sun. We never see a sunrise. We never see a sunset. We never watch the stars at night. We never take time to watch the bloom of a tree, the blossom of a tree, or the bloom of a flower. Ladies and gentlemen, the handiwork of God is all around us, and it's constant. It does not swing like a pendulum. It is predictable. And one of the main reasons why our young people, we're so wrapped up in television and games and videos and fun and cars and motorcycles and playing, that we don't stop and realize those things change. Motorcycles are a fad. I know a man in Pontiac, Michigan, got filthy rich on motorcycles and then got filthy broke because he didn't get rid of enough of them. And the fad changed. They changed. Look at the car situation. You know, our leaders are idiots. We overreact to every emergency and causes another one on the other end of the pendulum. Now, these are our leaders, folks. These are the knowledgeable people that tell us peons what to do. What happens? Gasoline gets scarce. What do? We build all the cars from this big to this big. There's so little we don't even turn the motor off. We go to church. That's how little gas they use. Man, you make a lot better getaway if the motor's on. Or maybe in a Ford and they knew it wouldn't start again. But look. What happened? We said, oh, car's got to have 25 miles, I think it is, to the gallon. It's against the law to make it. And we cut down the cars. What happens? Now we can't sell our gasoline. Oh, my. What are we going to do? We've got gasoline running out our ears. Those are our leaders. Our leaders. Why? Chasing the pendulum. These little cars, what do you think is going to happen? Big cars are going to come back. Yeah, they're going to come back. And we're going to build them so big you got to have hinges on them, turn the corner. And they're going to get 2 miles per gallon. And we're going to get in line again, waiting at service stations. We're going to pay $1.25 for gasoline. Why? We haven't got enough sense to get Just stay firm. Just stay firm. Something constant. Now, why don't we decide what kind of cars we ought to drive and drive them and figure out what to do about the gas? But you see, we're chasing the pendulum. And one reason is, we don't know a thing about nature. Young folks, you've talked enough tonight back here. That's enough. Pay attention during church. If you're not going to pay attention, go on outside and talk. I've called you down twice and almost did several other times. I'm glad you're sitting where you're sitting, but folks behind you want to listen. And you need this, by the way. So what happens? We don't know nature exists. I wouldn't think of going 24 hours without getting out and looking at God's nature. I mean, the tree that I prayed under the other day will be there when I get there next time. We had more security when we spent some time under the tree in the yard or the creek. Most of our lives are wrapped up in things that are not constant, things that change, things that we outlive. Why don't we get hold of some things that outlive us? I was out the other day in Northern California. Went up there where they got that tree, those trees you drive through. And it looked pretty near to me. Johnny Murphy, my son-in-law, was with me. So I said, Johnny, you better pull over close to me now as we drive through here. He asked the lady there, we paid a little fee there. He said, how old are these trees? And she said, some are 2,000 years old. You'd be surprised how much security that could give you if you hang around them. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? What's going to happen to the next generation? I'll tell you, they're going to be unstable, unpredictable, and miserable if we don't tie them to some things that don't swing all the time. What else? Attachment. Now follow me carefully. The pendulum is going to swing. The pendulum is going to swing. Don't run off and leave a church every time something goes on you don't like. Tie your family to a church. Tie it to a church. Good days and bad days. When you agree and disagree. When you're happy and when you're a little bit peeved. Tie yourself and your family to a church. It's going to swing. Years ago, every time a new preacher comes to town and preaches 25 best sermons, folks flock off to it. But they'll come back. Or they'll go somewhere else. I'm simply saying, folks, you don't understand it. You need to have as many constants for your children as you possibly can. You college students, you ought to finish college at the college you start. Every time somebody... another college you hear about, or somebody starts another one, No. You're building an insecure future for yourself. I'm. By the way, I'm predictable about this. I'm consistent about this. I got a letter the other day from five young ladies at Bob Jones University. They wrote me and they said, we're interested in coming to your college. You send a catalog to our campus for a catalog for us. I wrote back and said, no, I will not send a catalog. I will not send a catalog to anybody else's school. And anybody that steals students from somebody else's school is a dirty crook. And if you get involved in that kind of thing, you're stupid. I wrote back and I said, we won't send a catalog to another fundamental school. We won't do that. If I've got to build my school on other fundamental school students, I'll close the doors. I won't do it. Why? Because I believe when you go to a college that's fundamental, and the day you enroll, you ought to decide, I want to get my degree from that school. Why? Because it's constant. Constant. That's the way you're going to rear a generation that has some predictability. You won't be stable if you're floating off every time the wind changes. You be predictable. Young people need the same friends.
I'll go a step further. I think you'd be very wise to stay in the same house. I would suggest a couple that when their children, by the time their children start to school, I would do my best to stay in the same house the rest of my life, if I could, where I live when the children start to school. I'd even rather live in a little less expensive house and not as nice a house and let my children get attached to the old home place. I love that term, the old home place. Used to mean something years ago in America, and we used to have some stability too. But every time we build a new houses, a new section of town, and they got a little shinier house and a little bigger bathtub and a little fancier commode and a little nicer fixtures in the lavatory and the sink, we say, "Oh, I'd like to have that." And we just go, pendulum, all the time, pendulum, chase the pendulum, chase the pendulum. You know, it just might be that staying where you are might do more for your family by stability than what leaving for something nicer would do for your luxury. You'd be shocked if you knew how many of our young people come back to First Baptist Church in Hammond to visit and they feel secure because they see faces in this choir. I've been here all of these years. Some things that don't change. You've got to create some things that don't change. You've got to keep as little change as possible. And you've got to make some constants. If you can, same school, same house, same church. Years ago, a fellow came to town. And this young man, good man, by the way, fundamental man. 40 of our families went to his church. And I never get mad at anybody about that at all. We get, for every one person leaves this church, we get two families that come from other churches. Well, Thousand, you never tell us about it. No, because I'm ethical. I do not read the names of the churches in the area. If we get somebody by transfer of another church in the area, I don't read the name. I don't want to embarrass them. I will not visit or let anybody visit. If I have my way, I don't allow anybody on our staff to visit. Anybody goes to another fundamental church, I don't care if they fill out the visitor's card and check down the bottom, we want to join here. We won't do it. I will not build First Baptist Church Hammond on proselytizing. I will not do it. I'll close the doors first. Lady stood outside my office one day. About 45 minutes, wanted to see me. And I said, "Lady, you remember here?" She said, "No, I belong to Brother Bill Schroeder's church over in Oak Forest." I said, "I'm sorry, I can't see you." By the way, she's here tonight. She'll testify for it. I said, "I can't see you." Well, she said, "Why?" I said, "Because you're a member of another fundamental church in the area, and I'll not counsel with you unless you bring me a letter of permission from your pastor." And even then, well, I won't go beyond that. We had a couple grew up in our church. They grew up here. I mean, the boy was here all his life. His folks were here when he was born, I'm sure. And the girl was here from the time she was that high. They moved out in the south part of the area and joined the First Baptist Church of Lowell. Within a week, they called me and said, "Brother House, we've got to have some counsel." And I said, "I'm sorry, I can't give it to you." "Oh, why?" And I said, "Because you're not a member of our church." "What did she say, Brother House?" I said, "Unless you have the pastor." I forgot his name all of a sudden. Hey. Arsenal, have him write me a letter granting permission, and I'll be glad to do it. You know why? I believe in constance. I believe that there are some things that are not going to change. The Bible is always the same. God the Father is always the same. Jesus is always the same. But there's some things, thank God, we can make stay the same too. You know, we have students come back to our school. People leave, they can go to another school. Talking about our high school and junior high and grade school. After a while, come back to us. Pendulum, pendulum, pendulum. Don't follow it. I say this, look, I preach across this nation. And I have some great services. Last night and night before last, two of the greatest services I've been in years. Marvelous services, last night and night before. And students, okay, yesterday afternoon, they have a little college where I've been preaching. And by the way, that's why the colleges will have me. They trust me. That's why for 19 consecutive years, I preached at Maranatha Baptist Bible College. They trust me there. They know I'll not steal their students. They'll know I'll discourage their students from coming to Howells Anderson College. Yesterday afternoon, a fellow in this little college where I was down in Ohio yesterday, a fellow said, could I talk to you about 15 minutes? I said, drive it back to my room. We sat in front of the room. He said, I want to come to Howells Anderson College. He said, I wrote you 2 years ago and said I want to transfer to Howells Anderson College. He said, you wrote back and said, stay where you are. I'm not trying to keep folks in our college. I'm trying to give some stability to American young people. Every time somebody comes through like we did last night, and we have a great service like we had Monday night and Tuesday night, and God's power, and a fellow says, boy, I'd like to hear him every week. That's where I want to go. I'm sorry. I recommend they stay where they are. Now, if you're in a liberal college, get out now. If you're in a state university, vamoose. Exit. Scoot. Get. Besides that, leave. I wrote the folks back at Bob Jones University. I said, you stay where you are. Stay where you are. I think you ought to graduate there. Folks, we're going to have some constants, or we're going to have a generation just follows a pendulum all the time. Attachment. I think it would be a good idea not to be changing jobs a great deal. I'll tell you another thing, too. You'd be surprised what a piece of furniture can mean to a kid. I've got a poem written. Hey, listen. I've got a poem written about Mom's old red chair. Sure. We had to move every month because the landlords gave us trouble. They wanted rent. But the old red chair and the same picture on the wall. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to tell you ladies now what to do. I don't mind telling men. I'm scared of you ladies. But I think it's not a bad idea to leave your furniture in the house, sort of where it is for a while. Every time I come in drunk, I skin my shin. I mean, what I'm trying to say is this. The next generation. Look, we need some that's why we ought to stand up while the Star Spangled Banner is being played. And that's why we'll put our hand over our heart when it pledges allegiance to the flag. And that's why we ought to have some habits and rituals and norms and standards. Everything we can build for our young folks that are the same all the time is giving them just one more anchor to hold on to that doesn't move. In all this change, liberal, conservative, liberal, conservative, liberal, conservative, big lapels, narrow lapels, long skirts, short skirts, crew cuts, long hair, liberal, conservative. What can we do to see that the next generation will have faith in something? Answer, don't chase the pendulum. Answer, use the old King James Bible. Answer, nature. Answer, attachment. Same church, same friend, same house, same school, same store, same job, same barber shop, same furniture. Answer, schedule. Schedule. One reason we have become so unstable. We're so undisciplined. Let me give you an example. I've been a little tired lately. Not seriously tired, just tired. Summertime is worse on me than spring, fall, but pastor school, and, just getting over it, and youth conference, and folks are a little harder to pastor in summertime, and it's summertime. I've been a little bit tired. But I've been looking forward to last Monday night. You know why? Because everywhere I go just about, we have a service on Tuesday morning. So I get up early Tuesday morning, same time as usual. But wait a minute. Didn't have a service yesterday morning. Been looking forward for, ever since youth conference, been looking forward to yesterday morning. I'm going to sleep in. And they put me in a little motel every year, and there's a river right behind it. You can look out and see the river out the window. And I said, I'm just going to sleep in. And I did. Yesterday morning, you won't believe this. I woke up yesterday morning at 10 minutes to 10. 10 minutes to 10. And I said, boy, oh boy, I feel great. But last night, I couldn't sleep. I was up working at 2:30 this morning. And I am worn out. You don't mean that. You don't care. But wait a minute. Hey, honestly, my body's geared to sketch you. I hardly ever have a tough time going to sleep. I'm sort of like Dr. Rice. This is where Dr. Rice went to sleep. Every night. He fluffed his pillow, looked to the right, looked to the left, said, that's it. He was gone. I've seen him. That's the way I am. I hardly ever have a problem sleeping. But last night I tried everything. I counted sheep. I counted kangaroos. I counted cats and dogs. I counted raccoons. I slept on every side. I turned that pillow every way. I even got left one bed and got in the other bed. I had two beds in the room. Got in the other bed. I decided to get up and work. 2:30, I find it turned in. What are you saying? I'm saying there's an insecurity in the unpredictability of an unscheduled life. There's something constant. You'd be surprised what getting up the same time every morning do for you. As many things you can get that are the same. Schedule. Ritual. That's one reason why you'll be faithful to church. You don't know this. But our young people who are not taught, listen, our young people, if they have a youth activity out late on a Sunday, Saturday night, someone wouldn't come to church on Sunday, got to get their rest. You're building instability in them. Or if they work to midnight on Saturday night, let them lay in bed on Sunday morning, you're building instability in them. Well, the main reasons why you ought to come to Sunday school on Sunday morning and church on Sunday morning and church on Sunday night and church on Wednesday night, why? You don't understand it. You're building a constant for them to hold on to. An anchor that doesn't move. A post that they can hitch to. You're building that for them. And the more constants you have, the more stability. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will the next generation have faith? All depends. Don't chase the pendulum. Stay in the same Bible. Spend some time with nature. Attach yourself to the same things. Same church, same friends, same house, same school, same store, same job, same barbershop, same beauty shop. As much as possible, attach yourself. As much as possible, attach yourself to that which doesn't move and create things that don't move. Answer? He said, well, Howard, wait a minute. Don't you think that's in a rut? Yeah, did you ever get on a muddy road and get out of the rut? In the rut's a place to be. And folks in the rut are the happy people. Folks who are in ruts don't commit suicide. Folks who don't have schedules commit suicide. Folks that don't know where to live, move here, move there, go here, go there. Years ago, the old dirt roads. Hey, let me. I'm gonna pass that. Time is almost gone. I want to say something here that we will say. That's why a lot of our little babies are so upset. They don't live on schedule. I guarantee you, many a little baby that flops here and there and goes from here to yon and pitched here and there, many a little baby cries an awful lot. It'd never cry if it woke up at the same time. And had a bottle at the same time. Went to bed at the same time. In the same bed. I think your pleasure ought to be the same. You know who enjoys golf the most? God has a golf day. Plays golf every Monday morning, let's say. He enjoys it the most. Schedule. In order that, in the subconscious, that all this stuff, we don't know what we're going to do. What will I do today? That's frustration. You're building a nervous life that's not stable. Nothing constant. Nothing the same. Last. What's the answer? All the change? pendulum, liberal, conservative, liberal, conservative, long dress, short dress, big wide tie, narrow tie. Answer, don't chase the pendulum. Answer, King James Bible. Answer, nature. Answer, attachment. Answer, schedule. And lastly, answer, duty. Duty. One of the great dangers of retirement is that older people retire and don't have any responsibilities or duties to perform. And they lose their stability and are unhappy. You keep that Sunday school class. Out yonder 25 years from now, you be one of those teachers I recognize on a Sunday night when I'm in heaven and many of us are gone. You be one of those teachers I recognize on Sunday night been teaching 25 years. Well, you say, Brother House, I got mad. I'm talking about your own self, your own stability. Teach your children duty, responsibilities. We got folks sitting in this choir tonight and come to this choir 25 years. Come to choir practice every Thursday night. Oh, you say, what's that for? Help the choir? It helps the choir, but it also helps them. Constant. Thursday night, choir practice. Thursday night, choir practice. Thursday night, choir practice. Thursday night, choir practice. You don't know that, but that builds stability in your life. And in young people especially. Other responsibilities. One little statement. Keep yourself obligated. Keep yourself obligated. As long as you're obligated and fulfill the obligation, look, it helps you to feel more secure. You heard me say it time and time again. More suicides are committed on Christmas night than any other night in the year. You know why? Everybody's out of kilter. Everybody's out of kilter. Constant. Most of us, we're doing what we have not done. We're where we have not been. I tell you what, I'd advise, young lady, if I ever become a housewife, that's what I'm going to do. We're going to have 7 evening meals. Have the same thing every Monday night, same thing every Tuesday night, same thing. I don't mean same thing Tuesday night, we have Monday night. Years ago, Ms. House and I drove all the way to Amarillo, Texas. 500 and some odd miles from East Texas where we lived. I preached a revival. Got there on Monday afternoon. We stayed in the pastor's house. We ate there. You won't believe this, but it's true. Monday night, before we had the service, we had the most delicious barbecued meatloaf you ever saw in your life. Delicious barbecued meatloaf. Lunch on Tuesday, we came back to the house and ate, and we had delicious barbecued meatloaf. Tuesday night, we had barbecued meatloaf. I don't mean leftover from Monday. I mean it was cooked Tuesday afternoon. Wednesday at noon, barbecued meatloaf. Wednesday night, barbecued meatloaf. Thursday at noon, barbecued meatloaf. I found where they had that stuff. They had a big freezer in there, and they had hundreds of pounds of meatloaf. Friday at noon, barbecued meatloaf. Friday night, barbecued meatloaf. Saturday at noon, barbecued meatloaf. Saturday night, barbecued meatloaf. Sunday at noon, they took us out to eat, and I was so glad to see a restaurant in my life. But you know what? His name was Jack Sizemore. He died not long ago. He's the son of my pastor. And I said, Brother Jack, you must like barbecued meatloaf. He said, I love it. He said, I could eat it for 3 times a day the rest of my life. Probably did. Reminded me of the fella driving down a country road, and he came to a store and he wanted to stop and shop a bit. He walked in that country store. They had one loaf of bread, all they had for sale. and everything else was salt. They had table salt with the thousands of boxes. Ice cream salt all over the place. Cow salt, kind of cows lick on. Salt. Salt in grains. Salt in granules. Salt everywhere. And one loaf of bread. That's all they had. The fellow said, "Man, you must sell a lot of salt." He said, "No one ever have sold any salt." But it says a fellow here last week sure could sell it. He bought it. Now there's something about, you know, that didn't go over very well. I had it all planned. I was going to get you laughing, dying, laughing, and have you stand, close on a high note. Now I got to go 15 more minutes. Somewhere tonight in all of this, there's some philosophy that will really help you. It really is. You just say for your family, we're going to find all the constants we can. Eat at the same time. And eat barbecued meatloaf every meal. I'll be honest with you. I think you're better off, you know, maybe you keep going to the same store at the same time. Those kind of things build, and every constant you can build for your child means that after you're gone, he'll be more stable. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? It depends on the generation before he comes. What we do to our young people? To give them every, to tie them onto things that will not move regardless. And then to build as many things as possible in your life and their lives that will not move. So they'll find happiness because they have not succumbed to the temptation that America has swallowed hook, line, and sinker. Let's follow the pendulum. Shall we stand, please?